Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. I am Todd Albaugh. It is Tuesday, the 31st of January, 2023. Last day of January already. Getting ready for a brand new month, the second month already in the new year. Welcome, everybody. We're glad that you are along with us, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer. I am Todd Albaugh. What a day. If you've been listening on WRCO AM 1450 or now WRCE 1450 or 107.7 on the FM side, or if you've been listening to WRCO 100.9 this morning in Richland Center, big day. Big day, emotional day at Richland Center Station. A longtime owner and morning show host, morning personality, all-around great guy, Ron Fruit. This is his last day on the air after 50 years of being with WRCO, WRCO AM and FM, and now WRCO and WRCE in Richland Center. And the guy that hired me way back in 1987 and was kind enough to take pity on me and take a chance on this guy, and I would not be here today and be hosting this program and working for Civic Media had it not been for WRCO's Ron Fruit. So thank you to him. He had his last Ron and Phil in the morning this morning at 7:20 or so with Phil. Emotional. I mean, I've known Phil for 36 years. He's a wonderful guy, a compassionate guy, not a guy that shows his emotions often. And that certainly came out this morning, and as it should, after working for 36 years with somebody every day, almost every day of the year on the air. Ron and Phil will be with us or be on the air again from 9 until 10. And during our 9 o'clock hour on this program, we are going to simulcast much of what is going on WRCO FM 100.9. For those in Wausau and Amory, perhaps it won't mean quite as much to you folks, and I apologize. Well, I'm not going to apologize, but I get it. But this is a historic day for people in Richland Center and for Ron Fruit and for Phil D. But Ron Fruit and Ron's wife, Beth, the co-owner of WRCO as well. So we want to carry a lot of Ron's last hour, his last morning show. He'll be talking with Phil D., now station manager at WRCO. So we'll peek in occasionally during the 9 o'clock hour on Ron Fruit's last day. We wish him all the best and hopefully we've been negotiating, talking with Ron's agent, who it turns out is Ron. And we're hoping to have him occasionally on this program and find a way to keep him on the mics of Civic Media from time to time if he so chooses. So that's coming up in our second hour. Our third hour at 10:30, our weekly Tuesday Tangents with Luke Mathers, the co-host of Dueling Tangents every afternoon here on the Civic Media Radio Network, except for Bull Falls Radio and WXCO, where at 2 o'clock you have the Chad Holmes Show. But for the rest of the network, you have Dueling Tangents with Luke Mathers and Brian Kelly. We owe them a beer, a pack of beer, a six-pack of beer. We made a bet on this $1 million giveaway that our show would get more people saying that they heard about the promo with us than them. We lost. We're going to find out by exactly how much today at 10:30, and we will make good on that bet with Luke Mathers at 10:30, and also find out what's on Luke's mind and what's coming up on their show this afternoon. Coming up very shortly here in about 5 minutes or so, we're going to talk with Matt Flynn, the host of Matt Flynn Direct here on WRCO, WRCE, and across the Civic Media Radio Network every afternoon at 3 o'clock. Matt is fantastic, and we are going to be talking about specifically about the Supreme Court race coming up now in just a couple of weeks. And nobody can explain it better than Matt Flynn, former chairman of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin and a great attorney for many years in the Milwaukee area. He understands the law better than anybody I know, particularly in Wisconsin, and he's going to spell it out for you. So you've been thinking to yourself, geez, I can't figure out who to vote for. There's four folks. Why can't I ever find out any information? We've got it for you. A full half hour with Matt Flynn coming up here on the show this morning. Quick check of your weather before we go to break this morning. If you are in the WRCE area in Richland Center, a wind chill advisory out could feel like minus 22 with the winds today, actual temperature 13 degrees. The bright side is It's going to be bright, sunshiny skies today. Then for tonight, mostly clear, a low of 1. It'll feel like minus 11 with wind chill. And tomorrow, Wednesday, sunny skies again. An actual temperature of around 25 degrees above zero. It'll feel like 8 below with the winds. WXCO, Wausau, Bull Falls Radio today. Wind chill advisory. It's going to be cold. A high of actual 7 degrees. It'll feel like minus 30 with the wind chill. Tonight, it'll feel like minus 15. An actual temperature of 1 below. Then for tomorrow, Wednesday, mostly sunny. A high of 18. It'll feel like negative 8 in Wausau. Over to W, and here it is, folks. New call letters reflecting the new branding of WLAK, formerly WXCE in beautiful Amory, now known as WLAK, standing for Lake. Very good. Big news. Lake Air Radio there in Amory. It'll be sunny today. It will be downright frigid today. Minus 37, it'll feel like with wind chill. Actual temperature of 7 degrees above, but gusty winds making it feel like minus 37. It is chilly. Then for tonight, mostly cloudy. Partly cloudy. Actual temperature of minus 4. It'll feel like minus 15. And then tomorrow in Amory, it'll be sunny. Actual temperature 17 above. It'll feel like 17 below with the wind chills. Also big news for Civic Media. More on this a little bit later, but big news. Charlie Behrens, Wisconsin comedian and creator of the Manitowoc Minute, is bringing his show, the Cripescast Podcast, to Civic Media's radio network beginning this Saturday, February 4th. The Cripescast will air as a weekly radio program and will begin at noon across the Civic Media radio network. More on that a little bit later. So lots of news. We'll come back with Matt Flynn. Matt Flynn Direct talked about the Supreme Court. Stay with us here on the Tom Wall Show on the Civic Media radio network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show, the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 15 past the hour of 8 o'clock, and that is the theme song. Every afternoon, you can hear that song coming on at 3 o'clock, 3 to 4 every afternoon. It is Matt Flynn Direct, live from the greater Milwaukee area. Matt Flynn, of course, the former chairman of the Democratic Party of the state of Wisconsin, an attorney, a great attorney, longtime attorney, knows the law. And I'm not an attorney. I worked for an attorney for a while. My friend Sam Gold here in Wisconsin and down in Florida, and have worked with attorneys, not an attorney myself. But one thing you learn very quickly is the law is a funny thing. It will guide you, and it's not complicated. If you just follow the law the way it's written, there are very few ambiguities about the law. And that's what makes getting the right person on the Supreme Court this spring so very important, because there's a lot of implications depending upon who wins this race and how the law is interpreted and how the law is applied. And this will have life-lasting effects for people of the state of Wisconsin. So that's why we really are trying to highlight this race for Wisconsin Supreme Court now coming up, I believe, 2 weeks from today, if I'm not mistaken. And nobody better to explain this than the host of the Matt Flynn Show, Matt Flynn Direct, every afternoon, 3 until 4, then the host himself, Matt Flynn, and he joins us live from the greater Milwaukee area this morning. Matt, thanks for getting up. Thanks for being with us this morning.
It's good to be with you, Todd. These are exciting times with this primary coming up. I'm delighted that you're giving a segment on it.
Well, I'm delighted that you joined us. So first of all, just a quick plug for your show. Every afternoon, 3 until 4 across the Civic Media Radio Network. And here's why I love the program. Number one, because of you, but you get right into it. The phone lines are open. You state your case and bada bing, bada boom, you're right into it. I love that about the show. It's appropriately named Matt Flynn Direct.
Well, Todd, I love your show, too. I'm honored to be on it. Looking forward to this dialogue, my friend.
Absolutely. So let's get into it. The Supreme Court race, is it a week or 2 weeks? Jeez, I should know that, but I don't off the top of my head.
Yeah, 3 weeks from today. 3 weeks from today. The 21st of February.
That's right. 21st of February, 3 weeks from today, we'll go, because there's a primary, because there are four candidates, and that will get us down to just two for the April ballot. So I'm just going to turn it over to you, Matt. Give us the lowdown, the skinny on each of these four candidates running for Supreme Court, if you would.
Terrific. Thanks a lot, Todd. Here's the thing. It's very common for people to say, this is the most important election of my lifetime, that kind of thing. But I will say that at least for this year, 2023, there is no more important election than this one. The state Supreme Court has 7 justices on it. Now, the U.S. Supreme Court that you've read about has 9 justices on it, and they're overwhelmingly Republican, and they are the 800-pound gorilla. They're the big kahuna. So if they take a case that's appealed to them through what's called the writ of certiorari, whatever they say goes in our present Constitution. But the state Supreme Courts are really the courts of last resort for darn near everything. Because the U.S. Supreme Court gets over 10,000 cases a year, and they don't even pick 200. So, you know, in other words, the Wisconsin Supreme Court says something, it's going to stick. Now, one of the problems has been the Wisconsin Supreme Court right now has 4 Republican justices and 3 Democratic justices. And you're going to go, Matt, wait a minute. They don't run partisan. Well, that's right. But they're 4 conservatives and three liberals, moderates. And so what's happened is we have had some very, very bad decisions. The saving grace is a guy named Brian Hagedorn, who, even though he's a Republican, has voted for democracy, and I respect that. Here are the 4 candidates. 21st, 3 weeks away. One of them, Janet Protasiewicz. She's from Milwaukee, Protasiewicz. I know her personally. I'm endorsing her. A lot of people are. She is terrific. She is a Democrat, but she doesn't wear it on her sleeve. But she has come, first of all, she has been a prosecutor in Milwaukee County DA's office for more than 20 years, prosecuting murders, rapes, worse crimes. She's tough and she's fair. But secondly, she's a judge, and she's been a judge now for a couple of terms. And Judge Janet has come right out and said, look, these maps, these gerrymandered maps are rigged. The day after I get elected, somebody, if they bring a lawsuit, those maps are getting overthrown. She said that because then we'd be 4-3 on the right side. The second thing she said is this 1849 law about abortion, that was 174 years ago. Women couldn't vote on it. More than half the population are women, and they couldn't vote on it. And they're being told that that law applies now. Just bring an action on that one, and she would overturn it. Now, to say nothing of forever chemicals in our poisoned water, because Fred Prenn stayed on when he wasn't supposed to, and the court let him do it. Now, the second candidate on the conservative side is Dan Kelly. Dan Kelly is bad news. Think about Gableman on steroids. If you want Gableman on the Supreme Court on steroids, that's Dan Kelly. He's an election denier. He would not have certified Biden to win last time. He said so.
Right.
He attacked Brian Hagedorn, who's a conservative, for voting to certify Joe Biden. So if you want gerrymander, if you want that 1849 statute in effect, you vote for Dan Kelly. I do not. The third one is this Jennifer Doro. Jennifer Doro is in the Waukesha court. Dan Kelly is not a judge. He was appointed by Walker to the Supreme Court for a few years and got beaten right away in a special election. He had no business running. But Doro is a judge. The only reason she's running is she got FaceTime for that terrible, evil Waukesha Christmas parade killing, that evil man who drove through the parade and killed 6 people. Now, so she was on court TV for a couple of weeks. She goes, therefore I should be on the Supreme Court. Well, no. And not only that, she has been attacked fairly viciously by Justice Rebecca Bradley and by Court of Appeals Judge Shelley Grogan in Waukesha for being unqualified. Now, remember something. There are 2 Bradleys on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, Rebecca Bradley and Ann Walsh Bradley. Ann Walsh Bradley is good. She's a Democrat. She's a very good justice. Rebecca Bradley is bad news. She voted against certifying Joe Biden. She's a Trumper and she's a gerrymanderer. And they're attacking Doro, she and Grogan. So Grogan, what they said was, is true. Grogan doesn't know how to answer any questions. She gets in front of a panel and she goes, I have a binder here. Let me look about that. The second thing is she had a very, very unfortunate article in the Milwaukee Journal recently. Some say it was planted by Dan Kelly. I don't know if it was or not.
And this is on, just to be clear, this is on Doro. This is on Jennifer Doro, who's running as a conservative.
Yeah, Jennifer Doro. Yeah, sorry, and break in. I'm just kidding.
Right. No, I just, yeah, go ahead. You're doing great.
Yeah, so you're absolutely right, Todd. Very good point. So Jennifer Doro's son is being investigated by the police for drug dealing, and he has been alleged in this article very likely to have sold fentanyl to a UWM student named Cade Reddington, who died. Mm-hmm. And there is several of the kids who were friends of Reddington said that before he died, he showed them a note from his mom, a text that said, are you still dealing drugs? So my question, a lot of people's question is, did you know he was dealing drugs? Okay, you love your son, that's fine. But if he's dealing fentanyl, that kills. One pill can kill. And they won't cooperate with the police. And he's hired a lawyer. She won't say if she's paid for it. Okay, it's the mom, but you know, it's kind of a low bar if you can say I can run for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. I'm not qualified. I was on TV. By the way, my son is under investigation for this. A kid died, and I'm not going to tell anybody where the fentanyl come from because I won't ask my son. The fourth one is Everett Mitchell, and he is from Madison, and Everett Mitchell is a Democrat. He prefers to be known as the Honorable Reverend because he's the pastor of a church that he founded. And the Honorable Reverend, the problem is, there was another article on the Honorable Reverend where his former wife alleged that he had slipped her a sleeping pill and had sex with her when she was unconscious, that he had abused her over a number of years so she had to check herself into a hospital, and that she had to check him into a mental health institution or his facility. And he said, any sex we had was consensual, and I checked myself into the mental health facility. Look, God bless him, okay? You know, God bless him. He's gotten his life together. But come on, the Supreme Court, we have on the ballot gerrymander and the 1849 statute. And I don't have time for a project. You saw what they did to Mandela Barnes. They slammed the hell out of him. Right. They'll slam this guy on steroids. So if you want Gableman, vote Kelly. If you want somebody with enough baggage, she should be a bellhop at the Pfister, for God's sake, then take Doro, or you take Mitchell. Give me a break. This one qualified, the most experienced prosecutor and judge in this is Janet Protasiewicz. Vote for Janet Protasiewicz.
I think it's interesting, and you know, we love people listening to our show, but the main reason, or the main thing we want to do here is get the truth out and get information out. And I want to let listeners know that in our 9 o'clock hour today, we're going to be highlighting a lot of Ron Fruit at WRCO's last shift, his last day. So we'd love to have you stick around for that. But if you want, tune over onto WAUK, our sister station down in Waukesha in Milwaukee. Our host, Earl Ingram, there, having a very important interview in his 9 o'clock hour. His guest will be Michelle Coleman, who is Cade Reddington's mom. So this is the kid that died due to this drug that was allegedly given by Doro's son. The mom of the kid who died is going to be on Earl Ingram's show, and she's going to tell what she knows and her story. I think that's really an important viewpoint to have on. And I think, Matt, did you turn your mic down, or did somebody turn your mic down there? We can't hear Matt here. We'll try to reestablish contact with Matt and... not sure here, Aaron, if it's on our end or on Matt's end.
Does not appear to be on our end.
All right. So Matt's going to try to reestablish. Anyway, while Matt's working on his audio there down in Milwaukee, he'll be back with us in just a second. But this is, as Matt said, a super important topic issue here that even if you're a Republican, right? If you're a Republican, you probably want the strongest person to come out of that. And I'm not sure that you want Jennifer Doro, as Matt said, to use his words, more baggage than a bellhop at the Pfister Hotel. I'm not sure that you want her. And if you're a Democrat, a progressive voter, same thing with Everett Mitchell, a guy who either his wife checked him into a mental health facility or he checked himself in after allegedly slipping his wife a sleeping pill. I mean, is that the race that we want? As Wisconsin voters, I mean, can you even imagine the types of ads on both sides? So Matt kind of, you know, he laid it out there pretty clear. You got Judge Janet Protasiewicz on the progressive side, a longtime esteemed judge who will apply the law fairly and correctly, or you've got Dan Kelly, a conservative appointed by Scott Walker, as Matt said, never elected a judge, just put on by Walker. I think we've got our connection back. We're going to step out, take a break. More with Matt Flynn of Matt Flynn Direct in the Supreme Court race. Stay with us. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show. It is Tuesday, the 31st of January, 2023. Time is now 8:33. Joining us this hour is Matt Flynn of the program Matt Flynn Direct. Can be heard right here on the Civic Media Radio Network every afternoon between 3 and 4. It is appointment radio listening every afternoon because you always learn something. You have great guests. You have great callers. The hour flies by. It's Matt Flynn Direct every afternoon on Civic from 3 until 4. I mentioned, Matt, not only are you the former chair of the Democratic Party of the state of Wisconsin, you are an attorney. And so you understand the law and how it should be applied. And we it was so cold in Milwaukee that Matt's line froze up this morning. That's what happened. We've thawed it out now. We've thawed it out. But before he got cut off there, Matt, I was just saying that Earl Ingram on his program on the Waukesha station, and people want to go to the Civic Media app and go to Waukesha. They can listen to that at the 9 o'clock hour. We'd love to have you stay here, but this is an important interview with Earl Flynn over on the Waukesha station. It's going to be Michelle Coleman, Cade Reddington's mom, and Cade Reddington is the young man that was allegedly killed by that pill given by Jennifer Doro's son. So as you said, just lots of baggage there. If I were still a Republican, which I was for several years, I left the party in 2011 because it just no longer represented me. If I were a Republican, I wouldn't want my candidate to have that kind of baggage either.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. And I don't mean to throw mud, but here's the deal. The Supreme Court is important. I mean, we have 7 Supreme Court justices, and this seat is going to determine who has the majority. And that's going to determine, is the 1849 abortion law still in effect or not? I don't think it should be because it's 174 years old and women couldn't vote in those days. And then secondly, are we going to have gerrymander for 10 more years, Todd? This is a 10-year term, as you know. And so all I would say with Jennifer Doro is, it's not just that it was her son, which is sad, but he showed a message to 2 people, as reported in the paper, that she said to him, are you still dealing drugs? Then when Cade Reddington died, he clammed up, wouldn't cooperate with the police, and obviously had legal advice because he hired a lawyer. We don't know who pays for the lawyer, and she won't answer questions about it. Cade Reddington's father came up to her in a restaurant in Madison after an event and tried to talk to her, and she walked away. So I will simply say this. I bleed for any parent who has difficulties like that with their son, but every parent doesn't run for the Supreme Court.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. And I found this on this whole issue with the Richland campus closure. When you approach people at system or approach people in the legislature and they don't want to answer questions, normally that means they have something to hide. Because if you nothing to hide, you talk about it, right?
Right. Right. Well, you know, my folks lived up in the Random Lake area near West Bend, and they were talking about closing the West Bend campus, you know, and people didn't take kindly to that. I don't think any of these campuses should be closed. I think they're a terrific resource. But you're right. This legislature is just lockstep with whatever their donors say, and they're not really representative.
You mentioned Ann Walsh Bradley, a great judge, great justice. So, of course, she is from my hometown, and we're on the air in Richland Center, Richland Center native Ann Walsh Bradley. So a favorite daughter of Richland Center. We appreciate the job she's been doing on the Supreme Court. One of the things that you brought up, Matt, is that, well, the issue of not only abortion, this 1849 law that's still in effect in Wisconsin, and now is in effect, you know, again, since the overturning of Roe v. Wade last year at the U.S. Supreme Court, but also gerrymandering. And as a former Republican, Matt, I can tell you one of the mantras of the Republican Party has always been, we don't want activist judges and explain to folks what an activist judge is. And now it seems like current conservative judges, the Republican Party, the mantra is, we don't like activist judges except when it helps us. Explain that a little bit.
you should run for Congress. That's right. You put it very, very well. Activism is in the eye of the beholder. For instance, to give you an example, a lot of Republicans say they're strict constructionists and originalists. That's a term meaning the Constitution should mean only what George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and the other ones thought it should mean. However, when it comes to the 14th Amendment, which was passed in the 1860s, which provides due process and, among other things, provides that the full faith and credit of the United States should not be questioned, they're not strict constructionists or originalists. They go, well, you have to look at that with nuance. So anything in the Constitution they don't like, they look at with nuance. And anything they like, they say they're originalists. And frankly, I don't care if you're a Republican or Democrat. That's just not right.
Exactly. No, I mean, that's the before you came on, I said I worked for a time for an attorney. I'm not an attorney. But one of the great things that I think I missed my calling not going to law school, because I love the law, because if you just follow it, it's usually pretty clear. There's usually not a lot of ambiguity when it comes to just following the law.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think in nine cases out of 10, you know, criminal cases and, you know, somebody drafting a will, that kind of thing, the law is the law. But when it comes to what the U.S. Supreme Court says and the Wisconsin Supreme Court says, they are twisting it like a nose of wax. In other words, it's very, very clear what the framers intended and what our culture has tolerated for 200 years. And it's very rare that we have a catastrophic event like a civil war where we have to decide it that way. But what's going on right now, a phrase I love is fascism creeps in on little cat's feet. There's a tremendous poem by Carl Sandburg, The Fog Creeps In on Little Cat's Feet. And fascism creeps in on little cat's feet, one judicial opinion at a time, if you have judges that are twisting the law.
This issue of gerrymandering, because this is the issue that Republicans, it's a loser issue for them, meaning that if poll after poll, if you take polls of Wisconsin voters, the majority, both Republican and Democrat, put them together, the majority of Wisconsin voters are against gerrymandering. In other words, letting legislators choose their voters instead of voters choosing their legislators. Republicans know this. So now they put on this kind of BS issue of a referendum. Hey, do you want people on welfare to work? Well, of course, Tommy Thompson did that years ago and the legislature passed it. It's a non-issue. But they're trying to gin up their voters and get them into this race a little bit. Explain to voters, because what they're saying is, what Republicans are saying now is, well, geez, if you get a progressive, a liberal on the court, they're going to overrule the will of the people and overrule these maps. Explain to people, Matt, how actually having a judge like Judge Janet Protasiewicz is actually going to make it legal. Because these conservatives, I would argue, you're the attorney, I would argue they didn't apply federal law and state law when they redrew the lines.
You know, that's a very profound point. And let me put it to you this way. They are trying to cast, they have started $1 million campaign to, quote, educate voters and say things like that. However, here's the truth. Janet Protasiewicz should not be seen as a liberal or a conservative. This is a difference between democracy and attacks on democracy. Mm-hmm. What she's simply saying is we should have fair maps. Iowa has fair maps. Mm-hmm. Iowa put in a fair map commission, and Republicans still win. That's fine. That's fine, but they're fair maps. Utah, the most Republican state in the country, or one of them, has drop boxes. Mm-hmm. They have drop boxes. That's fine. Our Supreme Court said no drop boxes and crooked maps. So it's not a question of a liberal judge changing maps that are fair. The Constitution, both the federal and the state constitution, because we have a constitution too, mandate due process. And that mandates fair maps. And all we're saying is let's make a lot of 50-50 districts and may the best candidate win. Right. That's all we're saying. Right. That's all we're saying.
But don't you think agree or disagree from a legal, I'm not asking for legal advice, obviously, but just your opinion as an attorney and knowing the law, don't you think that the current Supreme Court, when the case came before them, they didn't, there are, I don't want to get into the weeds too much, but there are federal laws that dictate how maps currently can be drawn, even without new legislation. And I would argue that the current Wisconsin Supreme Court with a conservative majority did not apply the current law. They didn't legislate, they just didn't choose to apply the law.
Right. What happened was we have a gerrymandered legislature to begin with. They pass the maps. Then it's appealed up to this Wisconsin Supreme Court, and the Wisconsin Supreme Court affirmed what the legislature did. And they go, oh, we didn't draw the maps. The legislature did. Yeah, but the legislature did it unconstitutionally, as right. you say, as you say, in violation of federal and state law. Oh, okay, well, you know, we're strict constructionists. Well, what about the 14th Amendment? Well, we're not strict constructionists and due process in the 14th Amendment. This thing is a shell game. This is somebody playing three-card Monte on the street corner at 7th Avenue in New York, okay? Three guys. You're never going to win that game. Believe me, you're never going to win that game. That's what's going on.
You've talked about this on your show. I listen as often as I can. But you talked about what's to come with these ads that's coming. And kind of warn people, if you would, about what's coming after the primary.
Now, here's what's going to happen. And by the way, Todd, I want to put in a plug for your show before I go on. This is a terrific show, and you are so experienced in how you present it. Love listening to your show.
Well, thank you.
And this
it.
Is a show that people should listen to. So, but let me as respond. The day after the primary, the right wing doesn't know who to slime right now. Mm-hmm. If they slime Mitchell and Janet gets in, which I think is going to happen, they wasted a lot of money or vice versa. Mm-hmm. And some of them are for Doro and some of them are for Kelly, and they're attacking each other. But the day after, it'll be Kelly against Janet Protasiewicz or Doro against Janet Protasiewicz. They are going to unload big time. Now, if it's against Everett Mitchell, they're going to have a field day. They're going to have a field day. They're going to get the records from the mental health facility. They're going to have a field day. This is the Supreme Court we're talking about. But when it's Janet Protasiewicz, they'll look back at every case she ever decided and come up with something and then lie about it. That's what they're going to do. They're going to slime any Democrat. And we will put up money, but we don't have as much money as the Elines out of Illinois, quite frankly. They're billionaires. Or Diane Hendricks out of Beloit. We don't.
Right.
Okay, but we're going to put a lot on. And that's why it's important to get behind, in my view, Janet Protasiewicz right now.
I agree. I've listened to all three of them, or all four of them, rather. I saw the Wisp Politics forum, and you're right. I mean, Doro comes with a binder, and I think people must just write her lines for her, and she looks down and reads them. And correct me if I'm wrong, both Kelly and Doro, the two quote-unquote conservative candidates, they got their law degree from, like, Pat Robertson University.
Right. Not only is Pat Robertson University, but listen to this. Their law review, I was the editor-in-chief of the Wisconsin Law Review when I was in school. We got a lot of good articles. They had an article submitted to them down there. The title was, Killing of an Abortion Doctor is Justifiable Homicide. Okay? Now, to their credit, they didn't print it. And I'm not saying that Doro and Kelly were on the law review, but what school gets an article like that? And they kicked it around and then didn't print it. But that would never come into Wisconsin, University of Wisconsin, when I was the editor-in-chief. That they are both conservative to the max. One of them, when she was asked by Walker, what do you think was the worst Supreme Court decision, said the decision that overturned the sodomy law in Texas. And they asked Kelly that, and he said the decision that set up gay marriage. These people are obsessed with what people do sexually in private. I swear to God, adults. So, you know, that kind of person gives me the willies. It gives me the willies. Got to say it.
I couldn't agree with you more. And, you know, we won't go too far into it, but it's interesting what happened in Congress now. After, like you say, Republicans love these kind of bedroom issues. And now you got Congressman Matt Gaetz out there, apparently in a gay love affair with his press secretary, and a lot more stuff about to come out. And it's the hypocrisy, right? It's the hypocrisy of the Republican Party and these candidates who want to have kids dying of teen suicide because of the way they're made to feel. But yet they practice this stuff and they do it behind closed doors. And it's just the hypocrisy of it. It makes me sick.
Yeah, well, but the thing is, you raised a very good point about where they got their legal training. Where they got it is an ideological institution, not what I would call a freewheeling university like the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And that's all I'll say, or Marquette for that matter. That's all I'll say. And it's a sad thing. I don't think either one will make it, but one of them is going to get through the primary. And the other one, I hope, is Janet Protasiewicz, because if it's our other guy, they are going to spear fish in a barrel.
I'm just curious, because I thought that, like, we all go through some kind of mental health, I think, in our lives, but isn't there a disqualifier that to lose your license to practice law if you have mental health problems?
Not as you state it. If somebody is commits a criminal offense, they can. If they are, that's an interesting question. If somebody is determined to be incapacitated and institutionalized, as a practical matter, there are medical reasons why you can raise it, but that would have to be brought up by the bar. It didn't come anywhere close to that. And no one says that he checked in for any particular length of time, mm-hmm. but they'll get the records of his checking in. Right. And then they will put that, you know, they'll put that on TV. Look what they did with Mandela Barnes.
Oh, right. They'll sign them. Yeah, they'll just exaggerate things and make it sound terrible. Do you have five more minutes on the other side of the break, or do you have to go? I know you got something coming up at the top of the hour.
I do have five more minutes, okay. And then I'll have to go, but I enjoy right. this very much.
We'll come back and talk to you, get Matt's reaction to this voter suppression in Milwaukee. Stay with us. You're on the Todd Allbull Show. Welcome back to the Todd Allbull Show. It is 10 minutes before the hour of 9 o'clock. Our guest this hour, Matt Flynn of the Matt Flynn Direct Program here, can be heard live every Monday through Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network from 3 until 4. Make sure you listen every day, Matt Flynn Direct, here on Civic Media. Matt, I know you can only spend about five more minutes with us, and I appreciate you taking the time. Want to get two things. A, I want to get your reaction to this voter suppression in Milwaukee, and then I want to leave a minute for you at the end to make one last plug for the Supreme Court race coming up, the primary on Tuesday, February 21st. Bob Spindell, election commissioner on Wisconsin, or in Wisconsin here. He's a guy that helps determine who won to certify the election results. He got caught, not even caught. He put out a release around Christmas time bragging about the fact that Republicans were able to keep 37,000 fewer voters from voting in Milwaukee this last general election in November, and bragged about that it was, quote, black and Hispanics. Proud of it. This is why, Matt, I left the Republican Party in 2011 after witnessing a closed caucus Republican Senate meeting in which they were trying to pass some of these laws through at the time, and bragging then in closed caucus about suppressing minority and college kids' votes. Now they don't even care. They do it out in the open.
You're absolutely right. And Bob Spindell, quite frankly, should be prosecuted. And I'll tell you why. He was a fake elector. He was a fake elector.
Right.
Because he was one of the 10, fake electors. And no one's prosecuting him. Now, Bob Spindell, everybody called for him to step down. And just so everyone knows, you're absolutely right what he said. What he said was, we froze out 37,000 voters in Milwaukee. And you know something, Todd, it's worth mentioning, Mandela Barnes lost statewide by 27,000 votes. And most of those 37,000 would have voted for Mandela, given the demographics of the voting patterns. And that was their intent. And what they did was they put on very negative false advertising on black radio, mm-hmm. lying about Mandela, number one. Number two, what they did was they passed a series of laws restricting early voting, obviously restricting drop boxes, and then they went around door to door defaming Mandela. In other words, it was targeted. They didn't come to my neighborhood.
Right.
You know, they come up to my door, they realize they're not going to be very successful. But what they did was they went to a lot of these places, and what happened is those voters didn't vote Republican. They just didn't vote. Right. And the other thing that they're doing is, and they've used this in the past, they'll put up a billboard. They didn't do this time, but in the past, and it'll go, be sure to vote next Wednesday. Well, the election's Tuesday.
Right.
But be sure to vote next Wednesday. And pass out flyers. Texas and Florida, what they do is they go out and arrest individual voters who had felony convictions, who were told by the authorities they could vote, went in and voted, they're clean, and they show up in squat gear, riot gear, and scare the heck out of the neighborhood. And people in the black community feel, well, they don't want us to vote, they don't like us, and they don't like that, but they don't vote. In other words, they've criminalized voting. I'm going to throw out a question. Why is Spindell not before a grand jury for being a fake elector?
I agree. And again, a Richland Center connection. The head fake elector in the last election was Andrew Hitt, former Republican Party chair from Richland Center. Went to my same church in Richland Center. I had his dad for algebra class in high school. Great family, great family. But Andrew Hitt is a guy, and of course he was caught in the January 6th hearing, according to his own text with chairman of the Republican Party, Mark Jefferson, who I also know, who screwed me over in my own assembly race years ago. But these two were texting back and forth. They knew this was wrong, and still Andrew Hitt signed his name to it and was a fake elector himself. From a legal perspective, Matt, this is serious stuff. This isn't a misdemeanor. This isn't even a state. This is federal charges should be brought against these people.
Right, because what they did is they sent us false certification into the Senate and the National Archives saying we're the duly elected electors, and they knew that was false. And they did that, and nobody's doing anything about it. Garland isn't. None of the attorneys general are. They're all waiting around, for Garland to do something, and he won't do it. So, and then Spindell has the nerve to boast to other Republicans, I squeezed out 37,000 black and Latino people in Milwaukee, and he doesn't apologize for it. He said that's part of the Republican, it's not get out the vote, it's keep out the vote.
Matt, I know you got to go. I appreciate your time with us. Give us a minute or two. Give people one more shot this February 21st primary for Supreme Court. Who should they vote for, in your opinion?
Excellent. They should vote for Janet Protasiewicz. I want to put in a plug for this particular show, Todd Albo. Todd is one of the best radio people in the state.
You're too kind.
We're lucky to have him here. Listen to his show. February 21st, 3 weeks from today, four people on the ballot. Three of them are bad news for a lot of different reasons. Kelly, this Doro, and Mitchell. But Janet Protasiewicz, Protasiewicz, it's a Polish name from Milwaukee. Great family, great woman, great neighborhood, great everything. She'll be a great Supreme Court justice. She'll get rid of the 1849 statute. She will restore fair maps, and she will restore the DNR so they never have a Fred Prent again.
That's great. Matt Flynn of Matt Flynn Direct, we'll see you at 3 o'clock this afternoon on your show. Be listening, and everybody please join Matt every afternoon, 3 to 4. Matt Flynn Direct, fantastic. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, my friend.
I appreciate it. That is Matt Flynn. What a great guy. What a and knowledgeable. That's why I love that show every afternoon, because he gets right into it. He only has an hour, takes callers, gives you information. And that's really what I think we're looking for, right? I mean, especially with these Supreme Court races. You don't hear a lot until you turn on your TV a week or two before the election, and it's all negative ads. And you're like, I don't know who to vote for. What's really going on here? And that's why I wanted to have Matt on today. Not only is he somebody who's been involved in politics, he's a lawyer. He understands this race better than anybody else. And what he just said, what he laid out there, these are facts. All right? These aren't opinions. These are facts about each one of these Supreme Court candidates. And I think when you look at the facts and what they bring to the table, there really is, as Matt said, only one candidate who has a great record, who has applied the law fairly, who is knowledgeable, who is an experienced judge, and that is Judge Janet Protasiewicz. I love it on his show when he says Judge Janet Protasiewicz. We call her Judge Janet, which is great. It's easy to remember, right? Judge Janet. So don't forget about this election. It's easy. These spring elections alone are easy to forget about. A spring primary election in February, on a day like today when it's below zero, easy to just say I'm going to stay home and not go vote. But here's the thing. How many times have we heard we need to have fair maps? We need to elect a legislature that will do fair maps. So I'm telling you right now, the next chance for that is 10 years from now or 9 years from now. If you just look at it from a voting standpoint, it's not going to change at the voting by voting for legislators for another 9 years. We have one shot. If you want fair maps, one shot. And that is this election to elect Janet Protasiewicz, to interpret this correctly, to overturn the illegal maps done by Republicans. Same thing for abortion. If you believe in a woman's right to choose, one chance at the voting box. We'll be back next hour. Stay with us. You're on the Todd Albaugh Show.